Good morning, friend, and welcome to the Calvary Baptist Broadcast. And by the way, this is a special broadcast. Today's Father's Day, and I and the folks here at Calvary would love to wish every dad just the best Father's Day ever. Whether your child is home with you or away or perhaps already in heaven, wherever your child is or your children are, it's a special day. Maybe some special memories. And for those who maybe didn't have that kind of a warm, just intimate fellowship with a family, why don't you just adopt a dad or adopt a child that could maybe need. Now, I'm not talking about legally necessarily, but just wrapping your heart and your arms around that individual. I know we have an adopted daughter, and oh my goodness, she's been in our family 20-something years now. And boy, we just love her to death. Her name's Hannah. And we're just tickled any time we can ever get to be with our daughter or our other children. We have, between Becky and me, now most of you know, my first wife's in heaven, and Becky's first husband is in heaven. And about 10 and a half years ago, the Lord brought Becky and me together. And, oh, wow. And so she has four children of her own, and she and her former husband. And I have two sons that my former wife and I had. So, well, listen, we have 4 + 2 + 1. That's 11, I think. No. Between the two of us, we have, well, including Hannah, we have 4 + 2 + 1. I guess that would make 7, wouldn't it? And I got the boys and girls saying, Pastor Bray, that sure took you a long time to come up with that. Well, you're right. But nonetheless, all that to say this, thank you for being with us today on the broadcast. And dads, we would love to have you come and be with us today here at Calvary. And we have something special we'll be giving to each of the dads. And hope that you can be with us at, well, Sunday school is at 9:30. That's not very far from now. You'd have to hurry to get there in time for Sunday school. But 10:30 is when we start our morning worship service. And it'll be dedicated to dads today from the Word of God. So I would love to have you with us. We're here at 2601 Haywood Road here in Hendersonville. And we would love to have you. And as I say each time on the broadcast, if you have a prayer request that you would love for our church family to pray for, we meet every Wednesday night and have a prayer time. And if you would like us to pray for a prayer request, maybe it's dealing with health, maybe it's being with perhaps a child that's away from the Lord, maybe an adult child or children that are away from the Lord, we would love to just take that before the Lord on your behalf. And so if you'll just call the church office, and if no one answers, just leave a voicemail and we'll get to it. And we'll present those on Wednesday night. Well, again, we'd love to have you with us today or any Lord's Day. We've had a number of visitors here lately and several that have listened to the broadcast. And so why don't you just come and be among us and among them that are visiting for the reason of having listened to the broadcast. Well, enough of that. Let's get into the Word of God. That's why we're here. Now, usually on the broadcast, I don't read an extensive portion of Scripture, but today, just to kind of get us to where we are in this Old Testament book, the Minor Prophet of Micah, and this is Micah, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 8, and it'll kind of give you the background of what God is saying. He's really saying it through the prophet Micah. He's saying it to the nation of Israel as a dad would or as a heavenly father would to those he loves. And so this is Micah chapter number 6, beginning with verse number 1. You'll hear me turn the page here in a second. Well, I'm already turning the page. Here we go. It says, the Bible records, hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? Wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, I have redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I have set before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak the king of Moab consulted, and what Balaam the son of Beor answered him from Shittim and unto Gilgal, that we may know the righteousness of the Lord. Now he's going to get to the real text that I want to deal with today. We're not quite there. This is verse 6. We're really going to focus on verse 8 for dads. Verse 6 records, wherewith shall I come before the Lord? He's asking a rhetorical question there. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? Shall the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And now he comes to verse 8 and he gives a simple, succinct answer to all these questions. And he says it like this. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee. Here we go. It's really brief. He says, but to do justly. Justly has the idea of righteously. But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. No doubt many in our radio family have heard these verses before. And yes, it is the Old Testament. No doubt about that. But as with so many Old Testament texts, they have a direct relevance to the New Testament child of God. God is saying to the Old Testament children of Israel, but he would say to the New Testament children of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know the Lord as your Savior, he is saying these things are not just for the Old Testament. They're not old-fashioned at all. They're as modern as eternity future in this age and in the kingdom age and in the eternity. He says God wants us just to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now, that's easy to read, as they say out in Texas in a skinny minute. Doesn't take long to say, all right, what is the Lord? Well, to walk righteously and to love mercy and to walk humbly before God. We can say that, I don't know, maybe 5 seconds, 6, 7 seconds, something like that. I don't know. But when we really think about it, these are the ways that God requires of us to come before him, not only in prayer and worship, but in the way that we live our lives. Because, well, we think about it, as he says here, the very first of these is to do justly. That means righteously. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's go to the New Testament, Matthew 6:33. The Lord Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's that word, justly, righteous. And righteousness, and then he says, and all these things shall be added unto you. So priority number one for you and me, those of us on the radio family, in the family that really know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we don't have to go any further to start with than just say, all right, what is the righteousness of God? Well, it's identified over and over and over in the Word of God, especially in the New Testament epistles. We see it in the way Jesus walked, the way he ministered, the way he responded to conflict, the way he even died. We just look at every one of those instances where the Lord revealed righteousness by his walk, by his just everything, his demeanor, everything. And then you have the gospel accounts, you have those accounts, then you have the Acts of the Apostles that gives the historical account, but it tells how after Jesus died, was resurrected, went into heaven in that interim period of time there. And as it tells how the apostles went throughout all of the Judea and Samaria and aimed throughout the rest of the world, and then you have the epistles that were written by the apostles that give absolute Bible principles how those who are in the family of God need to walk in their lives. And it goes right back to this verse of chapter number 6 in Micah and verse number 8. And the New Testament epistles talk a lot about righteousness or righteous or righteously. Or it uses the word justly on a regular number of occasions. Oh, I'm thinking about Hebrews chapter 10. He says, now the just shall live by faith. As he talks about the just ones, the righteous ones, those who are in Christ, God's standard for their living is to live by faith. Well, that's the exact message of Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. So let me just make the application to Randy Bray's life. That's my life. And may I do it to yours as well if you're in the family of God. Maybe you're on your way to church. Maybe you say, preacher, I would love absolutely to be in church today, but I'm a police officer and I have to, or I work in the hospital, or I just came from church, or I'm on my way to church and listening to the broadcast. Well, I am glad for that. No reason, I mean, whatever reason, it is a reason, whatever the reason, maybe going to church is just, maybe you got disappointed in some things about church, perhaps. whatever the reason, that you're able to listen this morning and you know the Lord is your Savior, you and I would be wise to just start where the prophet Micah recorded what God said. Yes, he required the sacrifices to be made for an atonement for the sins of an individual or a family until the Lord Jesus would die on the cross. So until Jesus died on the cross and they gave their sacrifice, their sins were what's called atonement. The Hebrew word kafar, I think, is how it's pronounced, but it has the idea of a covering. So those sins, in a practical way, were forgiven, so to speak. The dad didn't have to keep coming back for that same sin because they were covered. But when Jesus died on the cross, they were not only covered, they were forgiven. Praise the Lord for that. And that's why today, in today's world, if you're in Christ, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the idea is that God wants us to live righteously. When we don't, He gives us the remedy for that. In the Old Testament, it was to offer a sacrifice. In the New Testament, the day in which you and I live, the church age, we just come to Him and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I was angry, or I stole something, or I had a bad attitude, whatever it was. Lord, I'm asking You to forgive me. And He will. The word is aphiemi in the Greek. It has the idea to send away. And then once He sends that sin away, so to speak, the Bible says He cleanses it from all unrighteousness. He takes away everything that was in that area that involves, and it's cleansed. There's nothing in and of itself that can rise up, and it's automatically sin. Now, we can be tempted, but to be tempted is not sin. It's when our will attaches to that sin that it becomes sin. It attaches that temptation, then it becomes sin. So here we go. We're coming back to Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He says, He showed thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord doth require of thee, but to do justly. So as you and I just walk around, the Greek word is peripateo. Peri means around, and pateo means to walk. So as we walk around life, whether you're at the grocery store, at work, or at church, maybe you're going through a conflict or a crisis. Maybe you're just, oh, life is great. It is just, the showers of God's blessings are around me like a rainstorm on a summer afternoon. It's just everywhere. But whether it's great things going on or not so great things going on, what God requires of us is to find the Bible principles so that no matter what we're going through, no matter what circumstance, we understand there's a righteous way for us to respond to every circumstance in life. So dads, a lot of times we have to bear the weight of some heavy-duty things, don't we, for our families. And sometimes our children, oh, dad, no, that's old-fashioned. Get out of the dark ages. You've probably never run into anything like that. But certainly, I mean, they just think that life just started with them and everything is up to date and whatever dad, mom did is ancient history. No, every new generation has had to go through that same cycle of, okay, well, whether you're a dad and you understand God requires, God's holding dads accountable for the condition of their homes when it's a Christian home. No doubt about that. And so you and I, as dads or grandpas, I'm a grandpa now. So as dads and grandpas, we need to make certain that every bit of influence that we can have upon our children or grandchildren, whether they live across the road from us or across the country or across the world, whenever we can have an influence on them, that's our responsibility, but the best way to do that is for us to follow the first of these, and that is to do justly. Oh, I pray that, and I hope you'll pray for me, that as I go about every circumstance in life, I'll do justly. Now, you may have heard me say it on the broadcast before, and I'll probably say it again because the folks here at Calvary hear it quite frequently, because I have to remind myself, and I invite them to just be reminded along with me, that in the New Testament, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says to add to our faith, saving faith that we already have, and walking around faith that we exhibit or we embrace, he says, and add to your faith virtue. Virtue has the idea in it of moral uprightness. Now the Bray way of saying it, and I may have said it on the last week's broadcast, but the Bray way of saying that is to do the right thing at the right time for the right reason and in the right place. Virtue has the idea of doing justly, doing righteously. And so as we leave this word in Micah 6:8, may it kind of set the pathway. Can we put it that way? The pathway. We all walk pathways, don't we? Sometimes it's walking into great things. Sometimes it's walking into the unknown. Sometimes, oh, thankfully, it's walking out of a crisis, and then maybe like an oasis, a time of just rest and refreshment. But no matter how we're walking, may the journey, may the pathway that we say, you know what? This is what I know the Lord wants me to do. So as we leave that foundational commitment, and dads, I hope that you'll make that today. Now, moms, I hope you will too. And young people, I hope you will too. But this is Father's Day. I got to share it with the dads. So dads and grandpas like myself, we need, before we get to the next one, to just say, all right, I'll make that commitment. Pastor Bray, I don't know you, but God sent this message. Special delivery. I didn't have the radio on. I thought, well, I think I'll listen to the radio today. Or maybe the radio's on all the time, and sometimes I listen, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm near it, sometimes away from it. But today I just happen to be right by it. Maybe that's what's called a divine appointment. And you know what? I've been kind of delegating the dad stuff to mom as far as influence. And I mean, she's in the Bible a lot more than I am. And so, you know, I just trust her because I know she loves the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. If you have a wife or a mom who loves the Lord with all your heart, you are blessed beyond measure. But dads, we can't just give that responsibility to someone else because it's on our shoulders. And one day God's going to hold us accountable for that. And we hope to hear him say, well done, Dad, good and faithful service in that aspect of your life. And I'm just, oh, I hope that'll be what is said of me in the journals of glory, that I just said, you know what, I'm going to nail this down afresh and anew. And like I said, I'm a grandpa, and I don't get to see my grandchildren that often. They live a little ways or quite a ways away from us. And so, you know what, I'm just determining right here on the radio broadcast this morning that more than ever in my life, I want to be the kind of dad and grandpa that God wants me to be. As I'm looking at this passage, these things doth the Lord require of thee, not only to do good, but here he goes, but to do justly, righteously. Now he doesn't stop there, so we better not, or we're not going to finish with a verse, will we? He says to do justly, and then number two is to love mercy. To love mercy. Now mercy, if you're not familiar with that term, there's two terms that are used kind of, they're kind of like traveling friends, you know, that they just kind of travel together. One is grace. We've talked about that on the broadcast before. And the other is mercy. Kind of like two wheels on a bicycle. Nah, not really. It's just they travel together. Traveling companions. Let's put it that way. That's probably the better analogy. Grace, when God provides grace, it is providing something for us that we didn't deserve. But, oh my, that is wonderful. And God's grace, it has the idea of gift in mind. And it's just, thank you, Lord. That answer to prayer. Oh, that knowledge that you gave. Or that protection that you provided. Or that provision that I didn't know where that was going to come from. And the knock at the door or the mail in the envelope in the mail, whatever it was. Thank you, Lord. That was nothing short of your grace. Thank you for that gift that you gave me that just met the need more than perfectly. Thank you, Lord. Now, that's grace. But what we say, what the Word of God says here in Micah 6:8, not only to do justly and good, but he says to love mercy. Now, that's not hard to do when you and I are in the need of mercy. You know what? When we need mercy from God, oh, we want to run to God and say, oh, dear Lord, I need your mercy. Now, mercy has the idea of not receiving what we righteously or rightly or justly deserve. In other words, we've done something, we've been something, we stole something, whatever it was, and we really deserve, as someone might say, our upcomings. We really deserve what we're getting. It may be the mom, it may dad that says, okay, you did this, this is what's... It may be a judge, it may be a boss, but it... You know, when somebody's going to lay down the law, so to speak, we love mercy. Now, you may not, but boy, do I. I mean, a bucket load of it. And they say, you know what? I'm going to extend mercy this time. You should have known better. You should have done your job. You should have whatever it was. But this time, now, this probably going to be the only time, but I'm going to show mercy. Oh, do we love it? It's easy to just embrace that and say, oh, what a miracle. This is phenomenal. I am so glad. But you know what, friend? Now, I'll have to, my hand's up. You can't see it, but my hand's up. And I'll have to admit, when it comes to the matter of granting mercy from someone else who really does not deserve it. Now, as they say out in Texas, I use Texas a lot because I loved it. I was a youth pastor out there for several years and just had a blast, just loved it. So when someone coming to me or the Lord deals with my heart about extending mercy, that doesn't come usually just boom, that fast in a skinny minute like they'd say in Texas. But rather, I have to think about it. I say to myself, better just, you know, I don't want to just throw mercy around, you know, just at the whim of the thought, you know, that kind of a thing. And I better pray about this. You know what? I better pray about this. I'm all for prayer, friend. I'm all for prayer. But when God deals with our hearts about extending mercy, because that normally doesn't just pop up and go, oh, here's the setting. Oh, you need to show mercy here. It doesn't usually go like that. Usually, when the thought comes up that this person's in need of mercy, you know what? I think I'll get a drink of water. I'm going to sleep on that. You know, you may not be like I am, friend, but I can do that. I mean, lickety split. I can come up with a gazillion reasons why, you know what, I probably should. But maybe not today. Maybe not right now. Maybe if I see better evidence that they really mean it. No. You know what God says? He says, we're to do good. This is Micah 6:8. Yes, we're to do that which is good. What is good? And what the Lord doth require thee, but to do justly. Yeah, the right thing at the right time for the right reason. And at the right place, yes. But he says, to love mercy. That's an act of the will. That's coming before the Lord, not trying to get out of it, saying, Lord, I'll do this when you really, no, it's saying, okay, Lord, I know in my life over the next, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 3 days, 2 hours, there could come something that you want me to be already predisposed, ready to act when you lay it on my heart. That doesn't mean we go around and everybody that's wronged us or wronged that, mercy here, mercy there, mercy, 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 mercy. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying here, when mercy is appropriate, when God, did God always forgive? No. Did God put down the hammer, so to speak, to Israel? Oh, they can really tell you a lot about that. As journaled in the Word of God, or if they were here, they would say, and those who've studied the Word of God say, oh my, no. Oh, many of the judgments that God sent, well, like Egypt that he talked about in the passage and other places because of this and that and the other. No, God dealt with them very severely sometimes. But there are those times, then and today, and my life and maybe in yours too, dear friend, when God's going to deal with our hearts. And he should not have to go around left corner, right corner, below the excuse, above an excuse, and try to convince us that we really... No, we ought to have a thought in our hearts and minds and a regular commitment. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Now, Lord, if you want me to give this person a gospel tract, I'll do that today. Lord, if you want me to accomplish this task, I'll do that today. Lord, whatever your will is for my life, I will do that today. I may not understand it, and Lord, sometimes I may not really even like it, but Lord, I am making the commitment, as he said, but seek ye, for Matthew 6:33, we talked about it, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, do the will of the Lord first. Hebrews chapter 10 again, he says, you do the will of the Lord first, and then the blessings of God will come. The reasons will come for what he wanted us to do. So all that to say this, that in this matter of loving mercy, when you and I travel sometimes in the journey of life where we've already made the commitment, okay, Lord, you deal with my heart. You show me that in this setting, I am to extend mercy. It may not be deserved. It may not have happened, you know, 6 months ago or a year ago. It may just happen 20 minutes ago. Or it may have happened 6 years ago or 20 years ago. And you deal with my heart about mercy. Okay, Lord, I'll do it. I may have to find them. I may have to research it. I may have to make a phone call. I may have to humble myself. It doesn't matter, Lord. When you touch my heart and I know it's from you, I will do that. Now, sometimes we don't even have to do that. Our own heart, because we're predisposed to it, is using that as an opportunity to show them that there's a righteous way to respond to every setting in life. And so you know what I'm going to do, Lord? If I have your permission, I'm going to go ahead. I don't necessarily feel your direction in it, but Lord, I want to give mercy to this individual. So Lord, if you don't want me to, you just deal with my heart about not doing it, and I'll stop in a skinny minute. But Lord, I think you want me to do that. I just want to do that. Well, for whatever reason, if God has laid it upon your heart, or if your heart is just moving in that direction, I believe that's the right way to go. And when you do, and when I do, because we're predisposed, we've already determined, I'm going to do what's right today. Doesn't matter what it is, a grand thing and a glorious thing and a fun thing and just all wonderful, or if it's a difficult thing, I'll do it. Because I know if I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, in other words, the kingdom of God has to do with what I want to last an eternity for His glory, and righteousness is always a part of that, then He's going to make it evident one day. That was a correct decision. Well, those are two of the three. Better not quit before I finish here. He says, He saith unto the old man, that what is to do good, to love, or to do justly, to love mercy, and here we go, to walk humbly with thy God. To walk humbly with thy God. You know, God wants to use us, and I don't have to spend a lot of time, because if we're going to do justly, if we're going to do good, as it says in the beginning of the verse, and we love mercy, walking humbly just kind of has a way of becoming part of our lives. You know, some people just have that personality, preacher, you know, and I'm kind of an out there kind of a guy or gal, you know, and I just, well, no, wait a minute. You're going to find that when you and I do good, we walk humbly before God, or we do justly and we love mercy, you know what you're going to find? Is you're going to find humility becomes really part of your personality. And where you were brash and bold and this and that, and the Holy Spirit's going to temper that. He's going to show you, wait a minute, Ralph, wait a minute, Randy. That wasn't a righteous way to respond. Approach it humbly. Do righteously, yes. Do justly. Love mercy when it's appropriate, and whether you're receiving or giving, but walk humbly before thy God. And when you do it before God, you'll do it before others as well. Well, that's the passage for dads today. I hope you have a splendid Father's Day, friend. And we love you. I hope to meet you today at our 10:30 time together in the Lord here at Calvary Baptist on Haywood Road. Until next time, I love you. Praying God's very best for your life.